I want to consider a verse found in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8 and verse 8. It says, "So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." Whenever a minister preaches, he ought to be conscientious about preaching in such a way that the people can understand.
Right.
Here he talks about reading distinctly, giving the sense, and causing the people to understand the reading. Now, what I would like to do for a few minutes is look at a portion of Scripture that's very familiar to all of us. And then I want to just simply state how the majority of people in the religious world interpret this verse. And then I want us to look at what the verse says. And then we want to try to explain what the verse means. And the portion we want to look at is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now here's what the majority of people that you would come across in the religious world believe. And let's just consider the southeastern United States. Here's what the majority of professing Christians would say this verse is teaching. They would say that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again the third day in order that we might be saved. Now, if you will just place your faith in Christ, you will be saved. Now, they truly think that that's salvation by grace, but that's what I want to try to prove wrong this afternoon. It doesn't matter what you require someone to do, no matter how small it is. If you have to do something, then your salvation is based on works. Now, oftentimes they'll say, well, placing your faith in Christ is not really a work. Well, notice, I believe it's in John chapter 6, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Now, that's not saying that this is God's work that you believe, that that's the work of God. No, this is saying this is the work of God. You want to do the work of God? He says, if that's the case, then believe on him whom he has sent. Jesus said believing is a work. And faith is essentially the same thing. So if you believe that God loves everyone without exception, and because of what Jesus did, they now have the ability to be saved, and all they have to do is place their faith in Christ, you're believing in salvation by works, whether you realize it or not. So now let's look at that verse in Ephesians chapter 2, and let's see what it says. Because once we see what it says, it's going to present us some difficulty in explaining what it means. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith." Amen. that says that you are saved as a result of faith. That's what it says. Notice this. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, first of all, what is grace? Grace is the divine favor or the divine influence of God. We sometimes say it's the unmerited favor of God, and that's true, but it's also the divine influence of God upon the hearts of His children. Divine favor, divine influence. He says, here's how we're saved. We're saved by grace, that's God's grace, through, that means by means of, faith. Now, if I'm talking to someone that believes you have to have faith in order to be saved, that presents some difficulty. But then if you read the rest of the verse, you get some support as to what we believe the Scriptures teach. But we can't get around that God's divine favor works through, that is, by means of faith in order to save. He goes on and says, and that not of yourselves, that's not referring to the faith. We have to be honest with the Scriptures. What he's saying here is the salvation is not of yourselves. Now, the faith's not of you either. We'll prove that, Lord willing, in a little while. But he says that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So faith doesn't seem to fit in these verses, does it? I mean, look at all this that he says. You're saved by grace, it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, and it's not of works, but it's through faith. That sounds strange. Well, let's begin with verse 1 in this chapter and see if we can make sense of this. Now, this is the longest section I know of in New Testament Scripture concerning the new birth. And if you brethren know of somewhere where it's addressed more, I'll gladly be corrected. But I believe this is at least one of the longest discussions regarding the new birth. Now, you as Primitive Baptists understand that salvation includes election and predestination and redemption and the new birth and the resurrection and our ultimate glorification in heaven. But here, the only part he's talking about is being born again. And being born again is when you go, as one of the preachers said earlier today, is when you go from having one nature to two natures. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. When you're born again, you're given directly by God a nature that you did not previously have. So here he's describing that subject. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, if you read that verse in an English Bible other than the King James, here's what it says. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Check me out. Look it up. That's what it says. See, the King James translator supplied some words because obviously this wasn't the direct translation, and I'm not an expert on that, but the direct translation was not compatible in English. It doesn't make sense to say, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. It says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Okay, that's how we came to be alive spiritually. He says, wherein in time past, that is before you were born again, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You are walking to the beat of a different drum. You aren't walking under the influence and leadership and conviction of God's Spirit. You are walking according to this world, the course of this world. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And I always like to make this point. Before you were born again, you were no different than someone who will never be born again. Right. You were by nature just like a child of wrath. That shows how depraved we are and what it took to save us. Amen. It took God's power to deliver us. And we're just talking about the born again aspect of being saved. It took God's power to save us. Now verse 4. But we, is that what your Bible says? It says, but God.
That's right.
He's described the depravity of man. And he didn't then say, but now we had a desire to get out of the condition we were in. You know, it's like a hog wallowing in the mire. You can clean up the hog, but he's still a hog. You know, he'll go back to wallowing in the mire. That's his nature. He loves it. I remember watching a documentary one time, where they were talking about what they did with all the leftover food and some other things in the city of Las Vegas. Now you can imagine. You know, I've been there a number of times, and we have a church there, by the way. I've been there a number of times, and there's buffets everywhere. So just imagine the waste and garbage. But there's this hog farmer, has this big hog farm. He takes all of that food, all that garbage, and puts it in this big tank and boils it, and then feeds it to the hogs, and they love it. Why? Because that's their nature. And that was, we just had one nature. Spiritually, we were like a hog. We were abhorrent in the sight of God by our nature. But I'm glad it says, but God.
Yes.
Who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Now I want you to see this. There in verse 5, he doesn't say by grace ye are saved through faith. He just says by grace ye are saved. Furthermore, notice that's set off by parentheses, that little phrase, by grace ye are saved. So here's what it means. He's saying in the first part of verse 5, when we were dead in sins, God quickened us together with Christ. In other words, by grace you are saved. It's just another way of saying the same thing. You know, the religious world often says it backwards. They'll emphasize what's in parentheses and not emphasize what's outside of the parentheses. You see that? But this says that here's how we're saved. He says, we were dead in sins and God quickened us together with Christ. In other words, by grace you're saved. So salvation by grace doesn't mean that you exercise faith in order to get it. Salvation by grace means you were dead and God made you alive.
Amen.
Now that's as simple as I know to make it. There's nothing you can do to go from death to life of your own accord because you're dead in trespasses and sins. And it says he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come, this is embracing the future in heaven, that in the ages to come, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Did you know the best you ever have it in the kingdom of God here is nothing compared to heaven?
Right.
Listen to what he says here. He says, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, as I said earlier, the word grace there means the divine favor of God, the divine influence of God. And I believe when it says faith, he's speaking of Christ. He's speaking of the faithfulness of Christ. Now, you may say, I didn't know that God has faith. Yeah, he does. It's just that it's perfect. Look, for example, I'll show you every person of the Trinity. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful. Now, what does that mean? See, when we think of faith, we think of it usually implies that we need to grow. You know, that's how we always think of faith. It's something we haven't perfected and never will. But when it says God is faithful, you know what that means? That means God is trustworthy. God is reliable. God is certain and sure and steadfast. And he said, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. This is speaking specifically of Christ. It says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. So if you just want to say, well, God doesn't have faith, you got to at least say he's faithful. You got to at least say that. But you know what I found out? The reason you don't have to say faithful when referring to Christ is because he only has one level of faith, and that's perfect faith. In other words, he's trustworthy. He's not more faithful or less faithful. He's just faithful. He's just faith. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. Now notice this. In what sense can we say that by grace we're saved through faith? It's by God's favor that we're saved through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Now, in Philippians, here's what I mean. Remember, this is talking about the new birth. That's the subject matter, the new birth. And in Philippians 1, verse 6, Paul says, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When you're born again, you stay born again. We can trust Christ. We can rely on him. In John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. How long ago did Jesus say that? About 2,000 years ago, right? And how long did people live? How long before Christ was this world created? About 4,000 years. So whether you were a child of God 4,000 years before the cross or a child of God 2,000 years after the cross, he is faithful in this work of saving his people. He is faithful in quickening his children. And he says in John 5:25, the hour is coming and now is. He said this 2,000 years ago, but this applied to you. And this happened to you sometime since you were born. But he said it 2,000 years ago. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So by grace are ye saved through faith. Now, if some of these brethren interpret that differently, here's what I've always said. It's okay if we see things differently, as long as our differences aren't contrary to sound fundamental doctrine.
Amen.
And we know this faith is not talking about us exercising faith in order to be saved. And I hope the way I've presented it hasn't caused confusion, because we know that whatever that faith means, if somebody sees it differently, that's okay. Whatever that faith means, it doesn't incorporate human effort in getting saved. We don't believe we're saved by placing our faith in Christ. We don't believe that all the elect will hear the gospel and all have faith. We don't believe that. But we believe all of them will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. They may never have gospel understanding. They may never see a Bible, may never hear a preacher. But Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Yeah.